You remember that music with Bob Barker? Price is Right. I remember Bob Barker from Truth or Consequences. That's how old I am. He was on ever since the late 50s as a game show host. He died at the age of 99 on Saturday, and so we were honoring him with a little bit of that Price is Right music. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works.
That was the loser sound of Price is Right.
Oh, there you go. You know how long that show was on?
Still is.
He was not the first one to do the show, believe it or not. It was even longer than his tenure on it. But there was a guy by the name of Bill Cullen in the 60s that did it. I remember him. But, of course, everybody remembers Bob Barker. He did it so wonderfully. All right. Thank you for joining us. It is Monday, August the 28th already. I am Paul Molloy. This is Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. And along with Big Ed Davis, thanks for joining us. We got a lot going on. In a few minutes, George Beebe of the Quincy Institute is going to be here. And we're going to talk about the death of Russian military leader Yevgeny Prigozhin. You know, the Wagner Group Russian leader that was killed in that very mysterious plane incident? Was that an accident or an assassination? We're going to talk about it with George Beebe. And Republicans unearth more documents linking Joe and Hunter Biden to hanky-panky in the firing of the prosecutor of the Burisma energy probe. We're going to talk about that as well. And officials claim to know the cause of that fatal series of fires in Hawaii, but it is not linked to climate change. We will tell you what they found on that, so stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 presidents that got the best ever Gallup average approval ratings since Gallup has started the program of rating presidents. So stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we're sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Best place for a haircut for you guys in Tampa Bay, in my humble opinion. Got to get over there. Great place, great haircut, great price. Call first for your appointment. 727-733-3773. They are closed on Mondays, but Tuesdays through Saturdays. And Arbor Life Tree Service, whether it's tree enhancement, or tree planting, or tree removal, or stump grinding, whatever it is that has to do with trees, Arbor Life Tree Service is the place in Tampa Bay. They are Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call today for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. All right. So I'll be interested in talking with George Beebe about that that terrible explosion that looks like on that plane that killed the Wagner Group military leader in Russia, Prigozhin. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, speaking about the Ukraine war, it looks like there might have been some hanky-panky going on with Joe and Hunter Biden and even John Kerry. John Kerry was involved. Did you know that? That he was involved as well? Hunter Biden's former business partner and Burisma board member, Devin Archer, met with John Kerry, who was then the Secretary of State when Joe Biden was the vice president. They met just weeks before that Ukraine prosecutor was fired after Joe Biden threatened to withhold $1 billion unless they got rid of him. Viktor Shokin, the former Ukraine prosecutor for the Burisma energy probe, was fired in 2016, less than 4 weeks after Devin Archer met with John Kerry at the State Department. Apparently, they have an email that talks about how Devin Archer coming to see, and they had a special letter for Kerry, S. Coming to see S today, needs someone to meet and greet him, reads the redacted email. And What's the deal with Devin Archer and John Kerry? Now, Devin Archer at that time was associated with Hunter Biden, and both of them were on the board of the Burisma Energy Group. At the time of the meeting, the two of them, as I said, had been sitting on the Burisma board for about 2 years. And then Joe Biden, as vice president, had recently wrapped up a trip to the Ukraine where he threatened to withhold $1 billion if Ukraine did not fire Shokin. So when the email was first released in 2019, Republican Senator Grassley of Iowa and John Johnson of Wisconsin expressed concern about the meeting and had sent a letter to the Secretary of State at that time, and this would have been during the Trump administration. They sent it to Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, asking for the records on it. So then, I don't know if you saw this, but Fox News' Brian Kilmeade had an interview aired on Saturday with Victor Shokin. And Shokin said that, quote, "I have said repeatedly in my previous interviews that the then president of the Ukraine fired me at the insistence of Joe Biden because I was investigating Burisma." He said the Ukraine president understood, and so did Vice President Biden, that had I continued to oversee the Burisma investigation, we would have found the facts about the corrupt activities that they were engaging in. That included both Hunter Biden and Devin Archer and others. So I was watching that interview, and of course, Joe Biden and company and the administration says that Shokin's a big-time liar. And you can't trust him. They pointed to indications that Shokin was fired because he had been too soft on corruption. Here's my take on it. Why would Biden want to fire the prosecutor of the Burisma Energy Company for being too soft when his son was on the board? Think about that. Doesn't make any sense. If anything, he would not want somebody that would really press the issue to be investigating the Burisma Energy Company when his son was on the board. So there you go. So I think the walls are getting a little bit tighter. They're closing in on Joe and his son. And what the hell is the Justice Department doing? None of this is coming out from the Justice Department. They're not bringing out the stuff. It's the Republicans on things like the Oversight Committee and guys like Republican Senator Chuck Grassley that are bringing this stuff out. So what's going on? Anyway, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, George Beebe is going to join us. And we're going to talk about the death of Russian military leader Yevgeny Prigozhin.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal. You get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back on Freedom Works on a Monday, and we thank you so very much for being with us. So, this off the wires this morning, Russian investigators say DNA testing confirmed that Russian warlord Yevgeny Prigozhin was indeed aboard the small jet plane that crashed outside Moscow under what were called mysterious circumstances last week. Now, there were 10 people, all of them killed, on board this craft, also including Prigozhin's second in command. And, of course, the Russians say nothing about any connection that they had in the mysterious plane crash. But we have got George Beebe, who is the director of grand strategy at the Quincy Institute, with us. And we're going to talk a little bit about the death of the Wagner Group leader. George, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Thank you very much.
This is indeed very interesting. I think everybody in town believes that it was no accident that that plane exploded, apparently in the air, and then crashed to the ground, killing all 10 people on board, and that that Putin, Vladimir Putin, probably had something to do with this. Would we be surprised if this was not the case?
Well, I certainly would be surprised. This particular jet has a splendid safety record. These things almost never go down, particularly not in good weather conditions. So the thought that this jet that's carrying Prigozhin and other senior Wagner leaders would just coincidentally crash to the ground, killing all of them, pretty hard to believe. And that's not just in Washington that most people assume that this was delivered. I think most Russians assume it was delivered as well.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. Boy, Putin certainly has a record of knocking off people that disagree with him. We were all talking about the fact, I'm sure it was on your mind as well, that as soon as this incident that occurred when Prigozhin turned his forces and started moving towards Moscow and then changed his mind after talks with Putin, that you knew that maybe after all of that occurred, that maybe the clock was starting to tick on the life of Prigozhin. I mean, look at all of the people that have mysteriously died or been poisoned or whatever that have been involved in Russia and disagreed with Vladimir.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I think when Putin first came to power, you know, over 20 years ago, there was a situation where Russia was being run by what we called oligarchs, businessmen who had taken over what used to be Soviet state assets and become overnight billionaires, and also amassed private militia groups that they were using for their own purposes. And Putin came in and said, hey, look, there's going to be a new order. As long as you are loyal to the state and toe the line, you can keep your money, you can keep your wealth. But if you try to amass individual political power, then we're going to have a problem. And those that agreed to that deal managed to keep their money, and those that pushed back are either in jail or dead. And Prigozhin, I think, forgot that lesson, and his ambitions got a little too great, and he now finds himself in a very uncomfortable position, I would say.
Yeah, indeed. There was talk that he was even... he was somewhat cautious about things. I mean, jumping into a plane at any time when you're sort of trying to avoid Putin maybe was a dangerous move. Like you said, maybe he got a little bit careless. But didn't he have a body double running around and all kinds of other things going on just to kind of avoid getting knocked off for a while?
Well, that may well have been true. But I think... he gave an interview last week from Africa, distributed on social media channels, talking about all the great things that Wagner was going to be doing going forward. I think there were probably some concerns within the Kremlin that Prigozhin had not gotten the message.
Yeah, indeed. We're talking with George Beebe, who has a wonderful resume, former director of Russia Analysis for the CIA, former advisor to Vice President Dick Cheney on Russia, and he's currently the director of grand strategy for the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. And we're talking about the death of Yevgeny Prigozhin. Of course, George, I don't think anybody thought Prigozhin was an altar boy. He was a pretty tough character, was he not?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So he was somebody that served many years in jail during the Soviet period for various kinds of theft. And when the Soviet Union broke up, when communism fell, that opened up possibilities for people like Prigozhin to draw on their criminal past and their willingness to play fast and loose and amass a lot of money fairly quickly. So, you know, he's somebody that was a pretty disreputable character, but managed to parlay his connections into great wealth. Not a lot of love for these types among Russians, quite honestly.
No, indeed. Some people said he might have been even more, whatever the word is, merciless or whatever, than a lot of people like Vladimir Putin himself. But speaking of Putin, is he trying to make a statement that you dare not cross him? Was he feeling a little bit of pressure, maybe from some of the other oligarchs in Russia after Prigozhin sort of, went rogue? What do you think?
Yeah, I do. I think Putin was sending a message here. It's one that I think Russians understand unambiguously. Putin's not going to come right out and say, yeah, I did it. But I think he wants to leave very little doubt in the minds of Russians that he was behind this. And part of this is because Putin's style of rule has been to prevent any of the rival factions within the Russian elite from becoming too dominant. He's tried to counterbalance them and make sure that there's an order that results from these checks and balances on these factions within the elite. And when one gets too strong, what he's tended to do is to try to bolster other ones rather than to eliminate the faction leaders altogether. But Prigozhin wasn't playing by the rules here as Putin saw them. He tried to seize power. He tried to use his military to go against the state. And I think Putin wanted to send a very clear message that that was out of bounds.
Yeah. Any chance of revenge by some of the people that were devoted to Prigozhin?
Well, there is a small chance, but I wouldn't say it's a great one. I think they got the message here that there was nobody in the Russian military, in the Russian government, that was going to support them. When they launched this uprising, there's no way they could have gone up against the Russian military and won. They were vastly outnumbered. They had no air force. The only way they could have won would be if parts of the Russian military defected to their side. That didn't happen. So to go after Putin now under these conditions would be wildly reckless, I think, on their part. I think they recognize they would lose.
What about the Wagner Group? Will it disband, in your opinion, or will they get a new leader, or will it sort of fall back within the, not be as independent as it was before?
Well, most of the rank-and-file fighters in Wagner have already signed contracts with the regular Russian military. The only question really was what the senior commanders would do. And a good portion of them are now dead. And the others, my guess is, will remain with Wagner, perhaps under new management, perhaps under a new name. And the Kremlin is going to very tightly control this group and make sure that its activities are pretty far away from Russia, which probably means Africa primarily, Syria to some degree. But not anything to do with what the Russians are doing closer to home.
Yeah. Thinking about killing 9 other people just to get at Prigozhin, I mean, basically, you're killing the pilot, you're killing everybody on board. Apparently it was a bomb. You'd think that they would have been, it's like, couldn't they have been a little more pinpoint in how they did this, if indeed they did it?
Well, I think certainly they could, and I think it tells you a little bit about the mentality.
Yeah.
This is one where my guess is that the folks who did this felt that anybody that was associating closely with Prigozhin was at a minimum guilty of
bad association.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
We're talking with George Beebe, talking about the death of Viktor Prigozhin. Let's turn to the Ukraine war itself, George. How is that war going? It's going on and on and on. Originally, a lot of people thought, you know, Russia would quickly do what they had to do, but it turned out that was not the case. And then you got the thought, well, you know, when you fight for your homeland, you know, it's just not going to be that easy to, you're just not going to give up quite as easily. But anyway, how would you assess the Ukraine war at this point?
Well, the war has gone through several phases. The initial attack, as you indicated, went very poorly for the Russians. They regrouped, tried to turn this into a war of attrition focused on Ukraine's eastern regions. And their hope was that they would gradually grind the Ukrainians down, use up their manpower, use up their weapons and ammunition, and exhaust the West's patience for supporting Ukraine. The Ukrainians tried to turn this back into a war of maneuver, taking advantage of Western technology to outflank the Russians and break through their defensive lines. And right now we're in a phase where the Ukrainians have launched this counteroffensive, trying to break through Russian defenses. That's not going particularly well. The Russian defensive fortifications are quite formidable. The Ukrainians are having a very hard time making a lot of progress. And I think the Russians are betting that over time this will continue to wear down Ukraine's capacity to field an army. Now, whether that proves true or not, we'll have to see. I think the answer is not going to be evident for many, many months at a minimum.
Mm-hmm. Is Vladimir Putin in jeopardy of losing his job based on how long this war has been going and how many Russians have been killed?
Well, I think that was the hope when everyone saw this Wagner uprising, that perhaps this was an indication that Putin's rule was nearing the end. But I think his ability to put this uprising down very quickly and now with this crash very decisively suggests that Putin is not in imminent danger of falling from power. And what's most likely to affect his grip on power is how the war in Ukraine goes rather than the other way around. We're not likely to be in a situation where Russia crumbles from within and thereby loses this war.
Is there any chance the United States may start slowing down its aid to the Ukraine? Seems to be a lot of pressure here in the United States to maybe cut back and maybe have other NATO countries increase their involvement. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I think there are indications that Americans are starting to question how long this war is going on and what our endgame plan is. CNN came out with a poll a few weeks ago that indicated for the first time that the majority of Americans said we ought to be thinking about cutting back on aid and tying our aid to some sort of diplomatic strategy for bringing the war to an end. So I think the struggles that the Ukrainians have had in this counteroffensive are only adding to momentum here in the United States to think through what our plan is, other than just supporting the Ukrainians in yet another what appears to be forever war.
Indeed. George Beebe, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. You make so much sense, and I really appreciate you coming on and talking to us. I look forward to chatting with you again down the road.
Great. Always a pleasure for me. Thank you.
Thank you, George. All right. George Beebe of the Quincy Institute. All right, we're going to take our break, and when we come back, officials in Hawaii claim they know the cause of the terrible fires that claim so many lives there, but it's not linked to climate change. We're going to tell you what they found.
reason for the sunshine sky. And there's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that love light shines all around us.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop. If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They're ISA certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Boney Bunny. Good morning. We're back again here on Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for being with us on a Monday. So, I guess Hawaiian officials looked into the cause of those fires. And despite all the climatologists claiming, well, you know, it had to be lightning strikes because the wood was so dry, this, that, and the other thing. But Hawaiian officials attributed the cause to failures from the state's main power utility company and down power lines. Now, that kind of goes against the Democrats blaming global warming. But in a lawsuit that was filed last week, Maui County alleged that the Hawaiian Electric Company and its subsidiaries failed to properly power down live electrical equipment, even though they knew that there was a huge windstorm that might cause problems if they kept the power as strong as they did. It says, due to this failure, down power lines operated by the utility company sparked a series of deadly fires on the island. So remember, Ed, we had been talking about that a little bit, and you saw pictures of those wires that were crackling on the ground. And
I don't understand, if you shut the power down, how do you pump water?
Yeah, I don't know that they shut it down, but they were powering.
No, but they're saying they should have shut it down. I don't know.
Powered it down, yeah.
Oh, powered it down. However you want to say it. So when a hurricane comes, they should power down.
I don't know. You know,
because I've never heard of that. Can you imagine people around here?
Yeah, I don't know.
Would scream if they shut the power off?
Well, I wondered if they. Yeah, I wondered if they meant by powering down that somehow they were cutting back on the actual voltage, but not completely off. Now, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, but when it hits the ground, it hits the ground.
Yeah, right.
I don't get it. I think they're just looking for a finger to point at somebody. I don't know. I mean, there's so many conspiracy theories going on right now.
The county argues in its lawsuit that the utility company had a duty to, quote, properly maintain and repair the electric transmission lines and other equipment, including utility poles associated with the transmission, and to keep vegetation properly trimmed and maintained so as to prevent contact with overhead power lines and other electric equipment. In other words, they weren't doing their job of keeping it cleared up and this and that and the other thing. Who knows? You got to blame somebody, don't you?
When power lines go down, they don't go down in a specific spot, I don't believe. You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got our two buddies, the brothers Ceresi, both Angelo and Andrew, with us. And Boy, there's always lots to talk about you two. Angelo, how you doing? What's going on with you? What do you think? Have you been following the Hawaii fires? Have you been following any of the other things going on of importance?
Oh, absolutely. Every day. I watch, see some of the news.
Did you watch the debate?
Yes, I did.
Who do you think won?
Well, I think Ron did pretty good.
Ron DeSantis.
I think Vivek did pretty good. I don't know.
Yeah?
They answered the questions, but the moderators couldn't really control the whole situation.
It started turning into a bit of a circus, didn't it?
A little bit.
I wonder how much people will remember, like, in another month about this debate.
Nothing.
No, you got a year and a half yet to go almost.
I know. There's not much. I think we make a big deal out of nothing in some cases.
I still think Trump is being treated terrible, all political, in Atlanta, the prosecutor there and all this stuff there. But, yeah, his ratings keep going up higher.
His numbers seem to go up higher. I got an email from my sister, and she said, did you look at that picture of Trump, that they took?
The mugshot.
He said, does he not look like the American Eagle? And if you look at his eyes and the way they're arched, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm thinking, there might be some truth to that if you take a look at that picture.
They practiced it.
Yes.
I'm sure they did.
Andrew, did you like that? Did you think Trump looked pretty in that mugshot?
Trump's going to make $100 million on that mugshot.
Okay? I think you're right.
But, are you kidding me? Trump won the debate, as far as I'm concerned.
By not being there.
Okay, Swami is a Democrat plant.
Yeah, you had said that before.
That's right, and it's all coming out. But, you guys were talking about the power and Ed shutting off of power.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you guys are very familiar with industry or not, but I am. Okay, I worked in industry for 13 years up in New York. Now, did you know that each one of these big factories did not depend on the power companies? They actually had their own power plants.
Mm-hmm. Their own power sources? Okay.
Now, I wouldn't be surprised if Duke Energy has its own power plants around for certain things in case of an emergency. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Now, Duke Energy, for those that don't know, is one of the main energy companies in Florida.
I mean, you have so many pumping stations around. There's one right on US 19 between 580 and Curlew Road. There's a pumping station.
You're talking about a substation,
water.
Right?
A substation?
Yeah, a pumping substation. And I'm quite sure. I wouldn't doubt that these places have their own backup power plants in case of an emergency. If power can't get to certain things, they have their own power plants to produce energy to run these pumping stations.
So
I don't know if that's an excuse in Hawaii or what. Maybe they're just behind the times,
saying? So in other words, they might not have these substations like we have.
Well, you would think they'd have to, because water can only pump so far. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
A certain machine is only going to pump water so far, then they have to have another substation to pump it to another destination.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but I mean, it was clear that the wires were on the ground sparking. It was
of course.
Clear. I mean,
there's no question
I just
about it.
You got dry wood because there wasn't been a lot of rain,
right.
And you got all of that sparked wires.
Now, usually with a hurricane, which we're going to find out in a couple of days. Is that with wind comes rain? There was no rain in that.
Well, we're going to find out what's going to hit here, aren't we? My hatch is down.
I haven't mentioned it, but by Tuesday, tomorrow, we'll have a better idea of the track of a current.
Well,
is it
find
now
out.
A hurricane?
We're going to find out tonight.
We find out tonight. Are the winds high enough to make it hurricane?
Oh, it'll be Category 2 by the time it comes even with us. So hopefully it stays. The current track puts it well offshore.
Well,
enough that we're still going to get the usual bands that come through, but as far as a direct hit, it looks like Cedar Key is probably about the area.
Okay, nice.
They're usually pretty good too. I mean, they're 15. They could be 15 miles off one, and you never know. Once it comes near something, it turns this way. Listen, for 40 years, I'm going through the same thing I do every year. I got to take down everything in my house, tie it all up, and this and that, and In 40 years that I've been here, the only one we really had bad, I forgot, but we did get some 75, 80 mile an hour winds.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. But I go through this every year. I'm tearing everything down and putting it away.
Yeah,
I don't have to worry about any of that stuff.
Oh, no. You worry about 5 feet of snow. I'd rather have the wind and the heat.
He's up in Rochester, New York. He worries about the occasional tornado.
He's got to worry about his governor putting illegal aliens in empty schools, giving them 3 squares a day, phones, money. Good God.
Angelo's going to have to let them use his Corvette to drive around. What are you talking about?
No way. You know, the only hurricane I ever was in 1967 during basic training at San Antonio, Texas.
Not to change the subject and get away from the hurricanes. Did you see? I'm trying to think of his name, the blonde-haired congressman. Now he's going. He's going to do an investigation on Fannie Mae there in Georgia.
Oh, Jim Jordan.
Jim Gordon. That's it. Jim Jordan. He's talking about doing an investigation into her, and they should.
Yeah,
and they should, a big time investigation. Well, let's because we all know what it is.
Okay, we're talking about that Fannie, who is the prosecutor in Georgia, the district attorney. And Jordan seems to think it's all politics, which a lot of people do, right?
Well, you know, Fulton County is known for going after all the Democrats. I mean, Martin Luther King was arrested in Fulton County. I was reading this yesterday. Rosa Parks, Fulton County, and now Donald Trump. What's with it? And they were all arrested by Democrats.
Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King, and Donald Trump. Which of those three does not belong with the other two? But, yeah, no, you're right. There seems to be a lot of activity in Fulton County, doesn't there?
Yeah, there's got to be. I mean, come on. And the Democrats put away Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what is wrong with the black community? They should see this.
By the way, today marks the 60th year of the 1963 speech in Washington by Martin Luther King. We should have made note of that.
And I still use that phrase every day.
Again,
yeah.
With what's going on. I mean, the Democrats even started the Civil War. Let's face it. Right?
I tell you, I would think that black people would want to come back to the Republican Party if they just took a look at the whole concept of picking themselves up and making, as a group, of course, as a group. You know, I think the philosophy of the Republican Party of self-determination is so important, especially to the black culture. But they never apparently seem to get away from the concept of the handouts and the socialistic approach of the Democrats.
But it's hard because they're spoon-fed their information by the media and social media.
Yes.
That is all directed.
But still, you there are enough good, straight-thinking black people that have been talking about this.
Right.
But it doesn't seem to get through to as a group.
Well, that's because, like Ed says, the media spoon feeds them only what they want to feed them about the Democrats. The Democrats, I don't know, where's Joe McCarthy today when you need him? You know, Democrats are destroying this country.
Well, of course,
They tried to destroy it by starting the Civil War, really, in the 1860s. They have destroyed this country with their policies, everything. They're just like, what's his name was saying last night on TV? the guy that's always on, Ed Levin. Levin there?
Oh, Mark Levin. Mark Levin.
Like he says, they have destroyed this country in every shape, way, and form of this country. They're trying to destroy our political structure. They're trying to destroy the election laws, all in the name of staying in power.
Yeah.
And the American people can't see that?
A lot of that was said on the Tucker Carlson Trump interview on the debate night. Did anybody see that?
No, thank you for the email, though. I haven't seen it yet.
I emailed it to Paul and Andrew, if you wanted, and you can email it to Angelo. But it's about 50 minutes, I think.
Mm-hmm. You know, just getting back to the Mark Levin, and I know what Angelo was talking about, because Mark Levin was talking about how the Democrats, over the course of almost their entire history, have had it out for the culture of our country.
Yes, they have.
Since the very beginning. And he talks about that guy that is going after Trump in New York. I can't think of that.
The prosecutor.
That prosecutor and his background. And he was actually plotting and looking during the Obama administration. He was looking for ways to go after conservatives through the IRS. And for breaking rules, and Lois Lerner, remember she was head of the IRS that went after those. Do you remember when she was going after those nonprofit conservative organizations?
Yes, she was going after all
And he
people.
Was involved with that.
So was that guy Jack Smith, too.
That's who I meant, Jack Smith. Jack Smith was
the
name.
These people have all tried to destroy Republicans and Democrats. I mean, Republicans and conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their main job. Trump doesn't stand a fair chance right now the way the Democrats have been doing things. In fact, didn't President Biden stand at the podium and said he's going to make sure that President Trump never, ever gets elected and was going to prosecute him and everything like that legally?
I don't remember him saying that exactly, but that certainly is.
I saw a video of him in a speech saying that he's going to make sure that he can never hold office again.
Biden said that?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I think I saw.
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
He did.
Okay. How long ago was that? Was it a recent?
I'm going to say within 4 months.
Okay. Did you see it?
Nobody's bringing that up. Nobody's bringing it. Here's a guy. This is the President of the United States going after an adversary.
Yeah.
And the American people are allowing that to happen? That's why what's going on right now, we are allowing it. We, the American people, are allowing this stuff instead of calling them on it and calling the media on it and saying, why aren't you showing this on the news? Why? Why isn't anybody showing that?
Yeah.
Because they're bought and paid for.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, that is very catastrophic to our country.
Yeah.
When this guy actually standing up at the podium says, I'm going to make sure that he can never hold elective office, and I'm going to do it legally. Well, yeah, they're doing it legally because they created these laws. They're looking for every nook and cranny to go after President Trump.
So do you, Andrew, is Trump going to survive all these indictments and still make it to becoming the Republican nominee, in your opinion?
He's going all the way, Paul. There's no stopping this.
Okay.
I told you that the other candidates should all join together and say, you know what? We're dropping out of this race and we're all backing President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they need to do.
Absolutely.
But they're all out.
Go ahead.
They're all out for their own selfish beings and thinking this and that.
Mm-hmm.
Go away. We got the one man we need. You all need to back him. If you're a true Republican and want to see this country go right,
yeah.
He's the only one that will take it where it's got to go. None of the other candidates are going to do it or are capable of doing it, period.
Well, there's certainly nobody close to Trump when it comes to the poll numbers. He seems to have increased his, even after that debate, he seems to have increased his lead. But it'll be interesting to see in that first primary, in or caucus, I guess it is, in Iowa, how that turns out. But
that's all Trump.
Yeah. But these candidates actually should step down in solidarity. And let's call the Democrats bluff. Let's see what they're going to do. You know what I'm saying? The Democrats, they stick together. These Republicans, like you got in Washington, they don't stick together. None of them.
Well, I tell you what, gentlemen, it's a pleasure to talk with both of you.
Let me give you that clip real quick.
Oh,
okay.
We just have to demonstrate that he will not take power by...
Can you find that?
If he does run. Making sure he, under legitimate efforts of our Constitution, does not become the next president again.
There you go.
Oh, okay. That's Joe Biden that was just saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
And the American people are allowing this guy to do this? That's what I don't understand. Where are you, America?
Yeah.
What happened to the patriotism that used to be in this country?
Generation died.
Gentlemen, I wish we had more time. We could go on forever talking about this. Very interesting. Thank you both. Thank you both so much, and I look forward to talking with both of you again.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, guys. And Andrew and Angelo Ceresi. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have, among other things, the top 10 presidents with the best ever Gallup average approval ratings.
Come on. Oh, baby, don't you wanna go?
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, back for the final segment of Freedom Works on a Monday. Thank you for being with us. By the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern on the great Tan Talk Radio Network. If you cannot listen live, thanks to Big Ed, go to our website. You can listen to us on podcast, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. All right, Ed, before we get to our top 10, did I see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hold on and win their football game over the weekend?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Oh, good. Does anything that we...
Means nothing.
It means nothing? Okay, I was going to ask you if there was anything we could have learned from that.
No.
Okay, how about our Rays? Are they doing...
Rays took 2 out of 3 from the Yankees here.
Oh, okay.
Things got chippy at the Trop yesterday because in that series, the Rays were hit by Yankee pitchers 12 times.
What?
12
what?
Times.
In how many games?
Through this series.
They got hit 12 times through the series.
Only 13, 14 games.
There's something going on here, obviously.
And they had enough. And they had enough, and they charged after them. No punches were thrown, but they made it clear.
They hit 12 times or thrown at 12
times? No, they were hit 12 times, opposed to twice. The Rays hit their players twice.
The commissioner needs to do an investigation.
No, the umpires should have done something right there.
Yes, but I think the commissioner of baseball should look in on that one.
They don't like it, the fact that the Rays are going to the playoffs and the Yankees are staying home.
Yeah, oh, that's horrible. Wow. Okay, Ed, time for our top 10. And this is Gallup ratings. Now, Gallup's been around since early in the 20th century with approval ratings for the presidents. So this goes back to basically to Harry Truman, and we're going to give you the top 10 former presidents. Won't include Joe Biden because he's now president, but former presidents with the best average approval rating. So here we go. Number 10, Gerald Ford. His average approval rating during his tenure was 47.2%.
But he wasn't in there very long.
No, he was only in for one. He actually filled in for Nixon, but he never was reelected. That's correct.
He didn't have enough time to screw up.
He was in there for about 2.5 years, something like that. Okay, number 9. Number 9 is Barack Obama. Barack Obama's rating, believe it or not, was 47.9%. I thought it would have been higher, but overall his average was 47.9%. Number 8. Richard Nixon is number 8. Tricky Dick, 49%. He was higher than Obama's average rating.
I am not a crook.
Well, you know, actually, he did quite well up until Watergate. Yeah. You got to remember that he was doing very well. He was visiting, people thought he was trying to end the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things he was doing right.
Yeah.
Number 7. George W. Bush was number 7 at 49.4%.
George W.
Well, the younger.
Yeah, because of the 9/11 thing, he was very
His ratings
very
were around 90% right after 9/11.
Yeah.
But that was his average, 49.4. Number 6. The Gipper. Ronald Reagan is number 6. 52.8% was his average approval rating. First one to cross over into the 50s, all right?
Hmm.
All right, we have a tie coming up here, so we'll say number 4 twice. First one is Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton, 53.1%. And the other one, Lyndon Johnson.
Hmm.
Yeah, Lyndon Johnson also. I'm sorry, I said 53. 55.1%.
But then Lyndon Johnson was only what? A year to, what was he?
No. He served the remainder of the Kennedy term in 1963, which ended in January of 65, and then he got his own term.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he got
re-elected.
And
he served a full term, but he did not serve a second full term.
Right.
He decided not to run again.
Mm.
All right. Number 3, George H.W. Bush was number 3, 60.9%. For George H.W. Bush. Number 2, Dwight Eisenhower. Dwight Eisenhower was very well liked. He was the guy that commanded the D-Day invasion. Mm-hmm. He was a general. And then he served 2 full terms. 65% was his approval rating on average. All right. So, who do you think, Ed? And remember that it's from Truman up. Who do you think?
I thought Reagan would have been I thought he would have been higher. So
that's all right.
That was my horse.
There's one very critical president we haven't mentioned yet. You want to try to remember?
Well, could Kennedy be there?
John Kennedy was number 1. John Kennedy had a 70.1% average approval rating.
He did well because you know why? Because the people loved him, which means the government hated him. Which means the government hated him.
A lot of people in the government hated him.
Yeah.
No question about it. All right. Well, thank you so very much. We appreciate you being with us. We'll be back on Wednesday. Be good out there. And remember, freedom works.
Hear the drums echoing tonight, and she hears only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3.
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. A tropical storm bears down on Florida's Gulf Coast.
Now's the time to take the appropriate precautions. We do expect Hurricane Idalia to be a major hurricane.